Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to the Round 9 Super Footy Podcast, the China Round, we'll call it. This week, Jay-Z Clark and Gilbert Gardner join us, and we're fresh off the top of the ladder clash. And in the end, the Eagles way too good at home for the Tigers. Boys, are the Eagles the new premiership favourites?
Yeah, but they're not exactly... They're not the premiership favourites. Yes, they're a very good side, Mick, but until they win consistently in Melbourne, I'm not getting caught up in West Coast fever just yet.
Their Melbourne record isn't good, but and I guess that's where the grand final is, Jay. But
they beat the
Tigers pretty easily.
Yeah, they beat up on sides in Perth. I tell you what happened is their forward line, Josh Kennedy, Jack Darling again, did a number on your boy Alex Rance and David Asprey. Rance was made to play on someone, Mick. Doesn't happen very often.
Look, Jay, I mean, it's all about getting into the finals. Forget about what happens at the MCG in September. It's about getting there. And West Coast is just going to win, win, win. Top four, double chance. And come finals, it's a whole new brand of football. Their midfield is exciting.
I know you're new to the podcast, mate, but I'll tell you what, you would love nothing more than to play West Coast in a grand final.
Yeah, but see, they're two games clear of third now, so they're going to play, if this trend continues, yes, which it usually does, they're going to play home finals until the big dance.
Yeah, but you would be so happy to play them in a grand final at the MCG.
Team, yes.
Remember last time Hawthorn played West Coast in a grand final? It was over 20 minutes into the first term.
So you're saying that West Coast are fool's gold?
They are sitting Ducks in a grand final.
Oh, boy. Mick, I'm a bit worried here. We've actually buried the lead. Richmond was never going to lose another game after last year. They were the best team in the competition by a mile. A big Super Footy poll had them as Richmond, your best team. Who is the second best team? And all of a sudden, the cracks are appearing in the Tiger Army.
Yeah, well, the second quarter, they put them under fierce pressure. I think there was 73 or higher percentage of the ball inside Richmond's forward 50, and they couldn't capitalise. And as Jay said, the Eagles' big man got a hold of them. Look, to be honest, they lost, like Jay said, it's the MCG's where it's at. So there's still, it's not a catastrophic loss for Richmond,
you know,
but there are a few signs, you know, like Dusty's a little bit off the ball.
Well, let's stop there, cool. Right? Dustin Martin, so he had the best season of any player in the history of the game last year, said Lee Matthews. How's it temperature check on Dustin Martin's season right now? I would say only lukewarm. Not hot or not even red hot. He's not having the impact. I mean, yes, he probably led the Tigers for possessions today, but I'm not sure he's having the same impact. He was tagged out of it by Jacobs last week.
Matthew Lloyd said he was getting into bad habits a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Is he trying to do too much, Jay? Like, you see him, taking on the game is his big strength, and he likes pulling off those kicks, cross-field kicks and whatnot. Is he trying to do too much, you think?
No, I think you need to back him in, but he's clearly not having the impact that he did last year, and maybe that's just because the rest of the competition is on him and playing him a lot more closely and a lot more tightly. But if you're counting the Brownlow Medal votes now, is he in the top five?
He's had three or four very good games, but I take your point. He's off the ball. Let's move on. Mm. Just one last one on. They do play St Kilda next week, the Tigers at the MCG. Of course, remember the last time? Actually, it wasn't the last time because they played them again after that, but Saints got a hold of Richmond by about 100 points last year.
St Kilda has won 3.5 games out of 16,
yes,
I think.
Yes. St Kilda, but let's talk about Jordan DeGoey because that was one of the worst games of all time. In fact, I contemplated going to the front of the house to watch the royal wedding with my wife and my mother-in-law. But I did stay with the footy, and it was because two guys, your mate Scott Pendlebury, Jay, who is injured, But, you know, someone said at the start of the year he's no longer an A-grader. He's just his class. Has he ever wasted a disposal in his life? No. But DeGoey, six, second bag of five this year. Gilbo, the talk is that, you know, he's a $800,000-$900,000 player.
Isn't it funny how players in contract years all of a sudden go up a few pedestals, go from a C and a B grader to all of a sudden he's an A grader? Look, I was looking at his numbers today. Hasn't really beat, I mean, you can only beat who you're playing, but five against Brisbane, you know, reasonable. They obviously just got a big win today for the club against Hodgie's old mob in Hawthorn. And then to pile on six against the Saints, so was held to one. And a pretty quiet game against the Cats last week.
You're saying he's a flat track bully.
Yeah, I'm wondering where you're
going. Don't know if I'm saying he's a flat track bully, but let's not get carried away with sort of your big money offers just yet.
Well, on that though,
goal kicking midfielder.
Okay, because Robbo wrote that you know, he feels like North are planning some sort of godfather offer for him and another player. I think it was Shuey. If he did get a godfather offer, Jay, where would that would leave Collingwood? What do you think he's worth as well?
I reckon to get him to leave Collingwood, you want to be offering 850 plus. And I reckon Collingwood would be trying to keep it under
850 plus.
Yeah, I reckon Collingwood would be trying to keep it under about 650, and so there'd be a $200,000 difference. So if you're Jordan DeGoey, would you take an extra $200,000 a year over a, say, 6 or 7 year deal to leave Collingwood? Now, is he the kind of guy who would be better off not at Collingwood, not in the microscope all the time? I reckon that would appeal to him a little bit. I reckon.
Tony Shaw said he owes the club because of what happened in the off-season, etc. Do you think that players owe clubs anymore? Gilbert, being an American sport fan, you think it's just franchise, free agency? Open slather.
Well, let's be honest, Mick. If someone offered me $200,000 extra a year, I'd be out the door, wouldn't you? And look, I mean, they're people. And Bucks actually said today as well. He said, "Let's not kid ourselves. You know, this is a business, after all, for players, coaches, and anyone in between." So, if it did come to that, and a big money offer like that, he'd be mad not to go. I mean, you know, did we expect Hodgie to be playing at Brisbane this year? I know that wasn't the money thing, but I think the fairy tale sort of finish and owing clubs and stuff is a bit lowbrow.
You have to look at the other side of the coin here. So St Kilda is a club who's really struggling to attract top-tier talent. Missed out on Dusty, missed out on Josh Kelly, likely to miss out on Andrew Gaff, who either stays at West Coast or maybe goes to Melbourne. You know, this is a club who needs blokes like DeGoey, and they've got salary cap space and what is looking like a top three or a top four pick, which would probably do the deal to Collingwood.
Do you think Saints are in it too?
Oh, are they in it?
Right.
They're eyeballs deep.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware that St Kilda had an interest in DeGoey. Let's move on from DeGoey. Right. St Kilda, another pretty ordinary
This club needs a shake-up, Mick.
Yes.
It needs a big shake-up.
Who's going to shake it up?
Well, Alan Richardson had the chance to make a selection statement on either David Armitage, who's going like a busted, or Jack Nunes, who did kick goals, played forward, new position, so they moved him out of a wing, or Jack Billings. Why don't they make a statement and drop Jack Billings? Wouldn't that help toughen up?
I've made that statement in my Supercoach team.
And harden up this culture, because is the St Kilda culture ruthless enough? Is it hard enough? Or do they just accept these mediocre results week to week? If I'm a St Kilda fan, that's the question I'm asking.
I think that's the problem. I mean, that's exactly why they find themselves in this situation, Jay, because they're not a strong enough club. And
not ruthless.
Going on someone like DeGoey, I don't think that would be a good fit. I know we've moved on from that, Mick, but for someone like DeGoey, who we know is a bit rough around the edges, going to a club like St Kilda, he'd be running amok.
He's a good Frankston boy.
He'd be running amok. Is the what was the hotel then at Mentone there where all the boys were
going?
The Edgy. Is that Edgy's still around?
Edgy. No, I don't think it is.
They'd be going Burko if he went to Moorabbin.
Speaking of Edgy, and you mentioned that Saints need it. Essendon got their edginess back on the weekend, which is just, who saw that coming? But I like where it started, Jay, which was in the media conference during the week when the coach set the tone, Margaret Thatcher style. I've had a gut full of all you media types. And then the players
you
seemed
like that,
to... I did like that a lot,
Why?
Oh, because it just showed, you know, you wouldn't want to see him behave like that all the time. And he wouldn't, because it's not John Worsfold. But I didn't mind him sending a bit of a message to his players, who clearly responded.
Yeah,
he kept it going after the game, John. But
it started on Monday, didn't it, when they sacked assistant coach Mark
Neal? Yes.
That's where it started. And that, you know what? That's got Dan Richardson's fingerprints all over it. And I don't mind it, because if he clearly saw a problem, he's acted quickly. So I sort of... I like
that too. It released the pressure valve.
But the big thing was the defensive pressure and the tackling pressure on field. Like, that has been non-existent for Essendon all season.
Yep.
Yet they came out, and you could tell in the first 3 or 4 minutes, that pressure was dialed up. And all the Geelong players, midfielders... were under the heat from the get-go.
It must be frustrating to be a supporter and, of course, the coaches at Essendon, because the quality is there, isn't it, Jay? I mean, they're capable of playing finals.
The list is good enough, and that's been the frustration, I think. Why can't they get the best out of this talented list? So, I mean, I didn't have them in my eight at the start of the year, but they've clearly been underperforming. But do you know what is even more curious for me, boys? Gary Ablett's game, I reckon, was the worst he'd played in 10 years. Now, what was most fascinating about this was that no Essendon player went within 30 metres of Gary Ablett all day. First time it's happened in 8 or 9 years for Gary Ablett, surely. He had absolutely free reign. So at the start of the game, I thought, right, Gary Ablett is going to have 40, 50 possessions here. He's got no one on him. And you know what? He had absolutely...
He had one tackle too. Is
he had no impact.
Injured or is it coming towards the end?
I think a bit of both, maybe.
It's between the years. I think he's just that startled by the injury setbacks that he's had, the soft tissue injuries. I don't think he's got full confidence in his body. I know, obviously, he's playing. He must, he must have cleared all the medicals. But given the probably the last, what is it, last 3 years now that he's basically had wrecked by injuries and in and out of teams, I just don't think I think he's lost confidence.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to question the whole trade.
He can get it back.
Can he?
Absolutely. He's one of the best players ever.
But he's not. He's lost the physicality, Mick.
Yeah, but what happened is... He can get it back for the business end of the season.
Can he?
Yeah, I hope he can, but I think he can.
I reckon it's
not a given, is it?
He couldn't tackle. Like, a lot of Essendon players just brushed him aside and broke through his tackle.
Second game back. I know
But that's his hamstring. That's going to affect his tackling.
Did you just play him out of the goal square and be done with it?
He's got to play forward.
Dangerfield in the guts. Let them go about it.
Just
let
Ablett in the goal square. Yeah. He's got to finish. I don't think he's a midfielder at AFL level anymore.
Okay. What about Hawkins? Is he still got a permanent spot in the team?
Finished.
No. Finished. He was one of their best players.
That's a big.
He was one of their best players.
He's just nowhere near as damaging. Nowhere near as damaging. Hawkins.
Couple too big. Over the top. Do you reckon he's
what a fatty?
Well, no. It's just his hulking big frame. When you look at Jack Darling, he's just dominating. Today and Ben Brown. I mean, the forwards have to be quite agile, and I just don't think Tomahawk is capable of doing that anymore. The big gorilla forward just isn't working.
That's the question mark. Geelong need more avenues to goal. Daniel Menzel out of the team, out indefinitely at the moment with that sore groin.
Hasn't his currency risen?
You know what? I'm just going to float something here. We spoke about Collingwood earlier. Alex Fasolo, could he end up at the Cattery? Because they are looking for more goal-kicking options, and Fasolo... wasn't in Collingwood's best 22.
Syndesmosis.
Yeah, and now out for potentially the rest of the year with his ankle injury.
Rest of the year.
Potentially. I just wonder whether Alex Fezzy Boy Fasolo might make his way down to the
There's category. A headline. There's a headline. Let's move on to Melbourne Footy Club, who have had a massive win against Carlton. I think it was their first, well, their biggest win since 1993.
First 100-pointer, I think. I saw that too.
I was first year uni, that's how long ago that is, 93, and their first 100-plus win since 2004. I reckon they're the team, Jay, given we were talking about playing in Melbourne, that could beat win the flag and beat Richmond at the MCG.
I think they're, and they know this, I think and they think that their best football is good enough, because we saw that against Adelaide, beat them on their own dung heap last year. They just haven't produced it consistently enough. And Melbourne have also lost games when they've sort of been expected to win. So, look, they have psychologically and mentally, they haven't handled things that well, but their best footy with this young list, Clayton Oliver looking like a future Brownlow medalist at the moment, Jesse Hogan pushing up the ground, maybe all Australian form. I'm a big believer in this Melbourne team, and I love what Simon Goodwin's doing. I think he's a great coach.
I can't trust him, Jay, until the ghosts of seasons past are eradicated. Back towards the end of the year, when we're starting to talk about finals in Melbourne, and when
it's been 11 years.
They did beat Carlton.
You hit the nail on the head. When they're expected to win, they go out and lose.
Have they beaten anyone of note this year?
Well, they can only beat who they're rostered on to play, can't they, really? So we'll find out
this week. They're dangerous.
Adelaide coming up. Jakey Lever's comeback game could be interesting.
They should win that with all the injuries. Have you got a whisper, Jay, on who a potential new CEO with Peter Jackson stepping down?
Surprise twist in the Melbourne CEO race, Michael Warner. I can tell you tonight that highly respected Melbourne football manager, Josh Marnie, premiership player at Port Adelaide, highly respected within the industry, is being seriously considered as a replacement for Peter Jackson. Jackson, of course, posted 4 consecutive profits, lifted Melbourne out of that dark and dire place that they were in 2013.
What, Mount Buller?
Yeah. Marnie could be the man. So he's highly rated for his football acumen.
Sort of a Tom Harley-style chain handover.
I mean, he would need support on the financial sort of corporate
side. Doesn't have a calculator?
Well, building those sorts of skills. But he's highly rated within the industry and within the football club. He's got great leadership now.
All right.
You heard it here first at the Footy Podcast.
Okay. Exclusive. Now, the Frontiers, GWS, Gold Coast and China. And even Tasmania as a frontier with a poor crowd of 7,000 when your boys got the job done.
Yes.
What do you think? Do we spend too much time on the frontiers and not enough time in the backyard?
In the heartland.
Let's tell you about GWS. Earlier this year, and you said it, Mick, you said it, Gilbert, I think Ralphie said it about 10 times. This is the most talented list ever assembled in the AFL. They're going to win 5 straight flags, apparently, Mick. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, they're 6 points outside the 8. They're 10th in premiership betting. And are they well coached? It doesn't look like it at the moment. Yes, they've got injuries, but they might miss that premiership window, which was so important to establishing and winning a flag to put a pole in the ground down there at Blacktown or wherever they are.
They moved closer. How devastating would that be for the AFL's expansion plans, Gilbo, if both, I mean, Gold Huge Coast player. Haven't fired a shot, let's be honest.
Yeah.
The Giants got the two prelims. But if they were to go that way, I'm not convinced that they will yet with the injuries.
And it's going to shut. That premiership window is going to shut next year, Mick, because I think Josh Kelly goes and I think Dylan Shield goes.
If that happens, the Victorian clubs get stronger off the back of these carcasses.
Well, they've had two preliminary finals and they're making a meal of this season. They've got one more year after this. But if they don't make finals... Don't make finals, Gil. Should Leon Cameron survive as coach?
Oh, you'd be hard-pressed. And you just get the feel, like you watch them play, and it's almost like they're waiting for these injured blokes to come back into the team and a bit of that she'll be right attitude that in a couple of weeks' time we'll have Kelly, we'll have Toby Green, whoever else is John Patton's still playing NEAFL, for goodness sake.
Yeah. It was horrible in the NEAFL.
So there's something not right, and the carcass of Gold Coast is probably... Yeah, that's front and centre for the AFL. And, of course, GWS are looking at it, would be looking at it going, this is how bad things could get if we don't get our acts together. So answer your question, I think Cameron would be in big trouble if they were to miss out.
Do you know what I see? Do you know, I've got a gut feeling on this, Mick.
Yep.
You know, Batman, Gotham City, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not the bat signal that goes up. It's the Clarko symbol. The AFL put up the Clarko symbol up on the clouds. And Alistair Clarkson, the premiership mine.
$2 million.
$2 million money bags.
Well,
would he answer the challenge? Would he see that Clarko symbol up there in the clouds? Strap on his, we jump in his bat suit and.
Well, Lee Matthews saw the Lee Matthews bat symbol when he went to Brisbane and became a legend, if he wasn't already a legend, in coaching Collingwood and being the best player in history. So, yeah, look, well, it's been floated. Why not? Why not? Although, and the Hawks got beaten. We'll get to that a bit later. Just a final point.
Would he take that? Who, yes or no? What's
the way that Kennett's talking, the way he's talking.
He's out.
Well, it's an option. There are options. He's not locked in for Hawthorn forever, is he?
No. I'm a traditionalist, and thanks for asking me, Jay, but I'd say if he was to walk out, what more could the man achieve, Alistair Clarkson?
I mean, more premierships.
Enshrine his legacy.
But his legacy is role goal. He goes to GWS and fails up there.
Yeah, but what if he can... Anyway, China?
China.
Are you a fan of China?
I don't mind it. I don't mind. I mean,
what do you like about it?
Well, the fact is they want to grow the game. We can't take
grow
AFLX
the game in China.
We can't take AFLX anywhere else.
There's 8 people there.
there's 200 billion people in China that couldn't care about AFL. So you may as well put it in front of their backyard and just see what it is. Good business opportunities. Think about the holistic approach, Mick. Yeah. The business opportunities, sponsors.
Coach who said that he would just never allow his team to go. St Kilda look like. Sound like the one.
Yeah.
St Kilda should not do that, Jay. They need to just play games in Melbourne.
Well, they can't win at Etihad.
Because it's a Port Adelaide away game. It's the rort of this whole thing.
Yeah. You're surrendering 4 points, probably, if you go there. I mean, they're clearly trying to jag a big fish Chinese sponsor, you know, not like an Emirates-type sponsor. And I don't know, is that going to happen? I'm not sure. If they can pull it off,
it's not all
great
about
innovation.
Money, though, Jay.
Of course it is. What else
the
is
sponsors.
It about?
If you're a Port Adelaide sponsor.
What's life? Is
the China thing.
No.
China.
The world. It's not all about money.
Oh, it's about
just because there's easy money over in China doesn't mean you should be going after it, in my opinion. All right. Okay. North Melbourne, yes. Gil, we've been waiting for 18 minutes, 55 seconds to talk about them. Great win. They're yes. almost unbeatable down there.
Yeah, look, that's a great thing that they've done, a real fortress down there in Hobart. So they're going really well. I must put my hand up. I thought they'd be down towards the bottom end of the ladder. I still think they might finish up there when the whole season washes out. But
how have they done it? Well, apart from good coaching.
Well, Jed Anderson's a big in. So he was one that...
The jury was out.
The jury was well and truly out. His bags were probably packed. See you later, Jed. End of your thing. And all of a sudden, he's just won himself probably a two-year contract extension. Clearances, tackling. He's doing all the hard stuff.
Do you know what's been the big one? Aside from the defence, the old man defence, which has done well, it's been Jack Zeeble forward. And you called this Gil.
And he's embraced
You said he wasn't a midfielder Gil.
Yes. Yeah, we've been on this for a long time. And how good does he look up forward? He goes back, takes some tested marks in like clunking sort of stuff. None of this chest business. Goes back and kicks 50-metre goals. It's an incredible forward line. Him alongside with Ben Brown and Jared Waite, two in form, probably the most potent in form key forwards, maybe second to Kennedy and Darling in the West. But how good is the old man? Scott Thompson's probably one, Jay, a real gentleman.
Didn't get a contract till November.
Probably no thought he was done when Boomer and all those old blokes went, and his last 2 years have been faultless. So, look, it's an exciting list. The best part is that there's actually a lot of the existing players on the list that have actually turned it, they've delivered this season so far. Jai Simkin, he's the one. Put him in your little black book for a couple of years' time. I think he's a really special player.
Do you want more games as a Tasmanian North man in Tassie?
Oh, look, I don't mind it. I wouldn't go too crazy. Let's not get sucked in by playing, six or seven or eight games down there. Mm. But I think, 3 to 5 is good. Maybe take some of these teams, like your GWS teams that you might struggle to beat out of ground that they're familiar with, and take them down there and maybe alternate it as well to keep it changing. I think it works really well. We've seen North, they actually play the conditions perfectly. Ben Brown was one, Jared Waite as well, kicking 50-metre goals in swirly conditions, and the ball wasn't deviating. And GWS was taking the same shots, and they were spiralling everywhere.
Brisbane Lions broke through for a win, guys. Finally, everyone on the board with a win. There was the kids as well. Jay, we saw a bit of this game, McCluggage and these guys. It's even though they hadn't won for 8 weeks, they've got good signs in Brisbane.
Well, I mean, you have to tag Zorko. He showed that he's struggled to break a tag. I don't think that move was made today. He had a great game, and McCluggage. So he's probably been looking for this breakout game. What was he, number two pick, taken behind McGrath? Very encouraging performance. But the story's Luke Hodge, isn't it? Because, coming up against his old side, he would have been nervous this week. He would have wanted to play well. And to get their first win of the season against his old team, I mean, it's perfect.
Buddy in trouble?
Yeah, he'd be all right. He'll be all right. He had the ball, contesting the ball. The arm didn't sort of go out venomous.
All right. That's all we've got time for. We'll see you next week on the Super Footy Podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.